holding here in the middle of the section Vav, where he starts explaining, nominally he's explaining a Maimon Chazal. Now, a word of sort of introduction to be able to keep track of things. The Rambam tends to be very focused and very structured, except when he's not. In other words, he's making a point here to go off on a tangent for no really good reason. Now, he had spoken about Agaritas and the importance of understanding Agaritas and how if we don't understand an Agarita, we shouldn't in any way belittle it and we should know it's beyond our understanding and so on and so forth. That is what he said in Hay. And that's fine. That fits well with the structure of what he's trying to say. And then he says, I'll give you an example of an Agarita that sounds strange and I will explain it to you. And the Agarita is, Ein lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olam Mechutz Me'Amashal Halacha. And he says, that sounds very, very strange, and I am going to explain it to you. His explanation lists basically two subsections, Vav and Zayin. That's a substantial part of a nominal Hakadama to Talmud. And it also is not the most peculiar Agarita there is. If he was trying to show us how an extraordinarily strange Agarita could be made to be understood, we could all come up with a list of a few dozen stranger Agaritas. The Maral has a whole sefer full of them. So we could ask why Halacha Dafka, why is there nothing else important, and so on and so forth. It's not off the page. So why is the Rambam going off? So the Rambam says a klal in Pirush HaMishnayis on Brachis in the last Perek, and he says, I feel it especially important to speak about Inyan Vemuna, and I will stick in a piece wherever I can because it's so important for me. And therefore, I will find an excuse to talk about it. Either the Rambam didn't think he would ever make a structured work on these inyanim. The Rambam, bear in mind, wrote Pirush HaMishnayis as his first work when he was a relatively young person, and didn't know yet that he would write a Mishnah Torah with Yesod HaTorah and spell out A to Z exactly what he meant. He probably did not anticipate writing a Mor Nevuchim, where he would write many of his Yesodos and Shitas and Deos, and he felt that he was writing Pirush HaMishnayis might be his only work. I don't know if the Sefer Mitzvahs had been out already, not been out, but whatever it is, he felt that these points are so important that wherever he has an excuse to digress, he'll digress. It may also be that he's copying the Gemara. Did you see that the Gemara stuck Agarita into Frame Kralacha? For whatever reason, they didn't make tomes dedicated to Agarita, really, but they felt that it should go in as part of the halachic discussion. Whatever it is, that's the Rambam's point. So the Rambam is devoting here best part of his this whole Akdama, arguably, this is a major section of it. He's almost finished with it after once he gets through with this. And I think the Rambam wants to give us this point because he feels it's so important. And this is the Rambam here actually, how relevant it is to make this Agarita to become Pshat. He's not adding all that much in Pshat when he finishes, but he's really giving us a very structured outlook on his worldview of where things belong and what their purpose is, and so on and so forth. So I mean, it's clear if you take a bird's eye view of the entire Hakdama, the Mishnayos, it's clear that that's what Rambam is doing. So let's trace. We've done a little bit, I think, Vav last time, if I'm not mistaken, and the Rambam started by saying, "What? Right." So the Rambam had basically said, animals have very clearly programmed. And physical things have a very clear purpose and structure, and so on and so forth. The everything somehow helps man. And now the question is, what's the purpose of man? It can't be that man is physical activities, or even the activities that require intelligence can't possibly be the purpose of man. So the purpose of man must be the understanding of that which is beyond. And that's where we left off, basically. Now, let's talk about this a few minutes, because this is very, very important, because in this, I believe the Rambam differs significantly from many, many other Sfarim. In the Rambam's Tachlis HaBriya, all that is spiritual are activities of the intellect, not so much the activities of the pure, of just the brain, but rather a person whose scope of life is the understanding and the knowledge, and and best said, the wisdom. In other words, that I identify myself with the part of myself whose hashkafa is what is the tov and the yasha to do. It's an understanding of the world that understands it to its core, which is all about toiv, and the person identifies as such. In the Rambam's words, this is a sichliistika tfisa rather than an emotional tfisa. Let's take let's take an example. A person has a chiyuv to fast, to do 5 inuyim on Yom Kippur. Difficult. So one person says, darn it, another day I can't eat, I can't take a shower, I can't do this. Not a pleasant, and I'm not looking forward to Yom Kippur. That's one attitude. A second attitude is, these are mitzvahs, Hashem wants you to do it, Hashem will reward you for it. That's another approach. There's another approach that grasps the tahara of Yom Kippur, and the way another person is consumed by the stature of being famous, or the sense of power of having money, or the sense of pure tainugim, engaging tanugim, this person's life is filled with the sense of tahara that lies in the activities of Yom Kippur, and it's a certain tfis of the world, and that becomes that person. I think that's the Rambam's point of sichas, and if you look through it becomes more and more clear that's what he means. So a person's a tzir hamuskolos means a physical, a kid sees in Yom Kippur not eating. A person who knows more and believes sees in it a stepping stone for something else. A person who is maskil de muskolos, and he hears in it, he hears the refinement of a person who's purely spiritual, that's the tachas adam. And that's why he says in this paragraph, avol im tzir hamuskolos yuch. Yes? You know what? It's interesting, because everyone else describes it in terms of av and yira, which tend to be we associate with some emotion, and he calls it muskolos and tfisa muskolos. Avol im tzira muskolos yechuyev laharchik hafroze banos agashmis. In order to have that type of sense of things, you need to pull away from physical hanos. Ki hamuskol harishon yitzaya shechurba nefesh betikun aguf. Betikun nefesh shechurba aguf. I believe this is a statement that says also similar to this in Chovos HaLevavos. It's quoted that he says it is axiomatic that as the guf becomes more indulgent, the nefesh becomes less, and vice versa. From this, it's obvious that the way I described it is true. You can be a brilliant mathematician if you're smart and still enjoy a night out. That's not, it doesn't see, yes, so a guy who spends more time in the math be more successful, but a mathematician who's also a playboy, I wouldn't say, well, he's not a real mathematician. If he comes up with great theories and so on, then that's that. And here we're talking about a deeper sense of the Adam Shabo. And we can also think of a person who knows tremendous amount of halacha and can perhaps even make brilliant statements and still be a person who does called Avasa. In the actual intellectual part of it, we don't think it that it needs to be a stira, but in terms of the personality, is he a Talmud Chacham in terms of the person? The answer is no. He's a playboy who happens to know enough to be able to cause trouble. Ki ha'adam im yia mevakish taivis v'nois nisam agoshes. If the person craves for taivis and his preference are for palpable pleasures, u'mishabet sichot havasai, and then his seichel becomes bound to his taiva, v'yia kebehemes ashalo yedam u'dov v'zul samaychus v'pila, and he becomes like a behemoth whose mind only pictures physical sensations. Then we don't see the divine spirit in him. Then what he becomes is he becomes chomer, cut off, drowning, swimming in a yam of hiyuli. Hiyuli is the word Ramban uses, which means unformed, unshaped. In other words, the Bria came in a stage it was Tohu Vavohu and Choshech Al-Bnei Tehom, and then Vemakiyor. So the Rishonim say there was Chomei Hiyuli, which is primal matter, which did not have distinct properties. Why is that considered to be the contrast to this? Well, I think it's simple. When a person has pleasures, then all he has is the present sensation. When you understand something, let's even take it on the level of science or physical chachmas, what you do is you try to conceptualize it. You say, yes, I know that apple tastes yummy. Well, what are those tastes? What is the class of chemicals that excite which nerves, and so on and so forth. But when a person is indulgent in taiva, he simply lives with his taiva. It's like a little teddy bear that he's cuddling, and that's it. There's no thought beyond it. So he says, so a person who's not living with das and seichel is living in the yamayuli. Hine is var me'elo akdomos. So from all of these akdomos, what I'm explaining is ki tachlis olomenu, omasha bo amnom hi, that the tachlis of our world is ish chacham betoiv. Because yitzchu biyad ish min amin anushe chachma maisa, tzorim bechachma, what I mean by chachma is sir hamitis kemoishahin, the description of the things that am is the way they are. Vasagas kol mashev shezegu adam, ubemaisai min yosha hamezik bedvorim ativim, that the person has a balanced sense as regards the physical needs. Varchokas es makrus, and he doesn't become addicted or sold to one of it. Shlikach mem machesh bakim maguf vatovas amidas kulon, and he only takes as per his needs. Hare ish ashazeya matzovai hu atachlis. So in the world of in the realm of the physical, we've come totally to see it as being as being per need, as per need. Let's take a simple example to get a sense of it. I remember when we were kids, the medicines came, they were just beginning to make flavored medicines for kids, I think. And the doctor would prescribe an antibiotic, and then he gave, what would happen is the pharmacist would dissolve it in a flavored, in some sort of flavored syrup. I guess this was before people knew that they could be not kosher. That was medication, and the doctor would look very seriously at you, and he would ask you to ponder the question. So, choose: would you like banana flavor or cherry flavored? It's up to you. And you would choose whatever you chose, and he would sort of look very serious and prescribe that. Now, as a child, whether you're going to be taking cherry medicine or banana medicine was a very, very big difference. It was, because it was all about the taste of it. When you become an adult, and the guy would ask you what flavor you want, I say, what the heck? You know, I want the antibiotic. I couldn't kill myself. No flavor. It's a pill. I'm going to swallow. That's the end of it. That's not where I'm indulging. When a person looks at his plate and asks himself, what do I need to function best? Then the person has become, so the moderation talks about the Yosha Mezek is that function. This is not only a Jewish Mesorah, which is, Aristotle was very into moderation and so on. And even the people who never heard the Nevi'im, they knew about this. In other words, a person's actions need to reflect his chachma. Because if a person's actions are not in line with his chachma, then the person basically is not a chacham. V'dalachom amorish ha'dog b'philosophia, and this is part of, this is similar to some of Aristotle's statements. He brings down at the bottom here that, there are things similar to it in his ethics, but he didn't find the exact statement. Again, once it's Arabic, I'm not sure. And he says, Kavanas akir bonishin avonim v'tovim. God wants us to be both wise and good-deeded. V'zeh sh'odim yeh chacham v'novim v'akish taivis, ayin chacham b'emis. A person who's smart, but he's indulgent, is not a chacham. Ki reishis ha'chacham sh'ikach mananos ha'gashmis al'mashe bo'ikim ha'guf. So the person is stupid. If a person acts stupidly, a person does things that are stupid, I can't call him wise. He's not, so just like a young child who knows a lot but does stupid things and reckless things, we don't call him a chacham. We can say that he knows a lot and he's charif, but a chacham is much closer to what you call wisdom. Ubeferish lemaset asavis nazin unuvareya kumashroa vitzarech v'chein matzanasin in Pirkei Avos. He actually explains this. Shemona Prokim and explains it inside. V'chein matzana shanovi uchiyach mishaton sheish lo chachma v'mored b'turim v'akshtav es nafshoy. On the people felt it was smart, but they were anti-Torah. Hu omroi, he would say, Eicho toimru chachoma nachatas Hashem itonu v'chulu. How could you possibly say we're smart and we have Torah? V'chein im yeh adam oivet uporish. Marchik hanos levad mimasha boikim aguf noy b'minhogim ativim kulam b'yesha mezek. A person who acts the way he ought to act, kvar konam midas hatevis kulam. So he's got gvaldik midas. Ela she'in chochmoloi. He doesn't understand it. He's not wise. Harezik gamke chasar shleimus. He's also missing shleimus. Avol yoseh shom l'rishon l'fishe polo ze ein aderch emes idiyabura. He's despite the fact that he's wiser than the first person, but since he doesn't understand it, I can't call him wise. And this is something that takes a minute or two to figure out, but it's when we speak of somebody as wise, what we're saying is that he understands what is good, and his whole mohus, his entire self is that. So he's doing the good and he's identifying with the good, and that's the person. So a person who can darshan the good and quote liberally from Sfarim, but he's not the good, he's certainly not wise. His chacham is not sholed on himself. The person who does right, but he does it without understanding it, I can say there's a level of wisdom to the person, but not fully wise. Now let's give a, people have a little bit of a hard time with it. Let's give a simple example. Imagine you see a young child, a 5-year-old, who's been trained well by his parents to say hello, do you need anything? Could I possibly help you? And do it, and so on and so forth. So you say to yourself, wow, that's a great chinuch. I can't call the child good or wise in that sense, because the child is not typhus what he's doing, but the activities of the good are definitely leaving some mark on the child, and the child is definitely developing to some degree. But since he doesn't have the deher of what it means to help, to be good, to be giving, all of that that we understand as being so significant in as the way we're typhus understanding it, the child does not have it, so I can't call the child really the wise. And that's what he said, someone who doesn't know can't be scared of chet. So let's take an example. Let's say I tell you, if you do this aver, you're going to burn in Gehenna. So you believe me, there's something burning up there, and you don't do it because you don't want a burning sensation. So it's a level of understanding, but I don't really understand what chet is and how terrible it is. I'm hearing sort of a muscle. If you do X, you'll get Y, but I don't know what X is. If I tell you, let's say I hire a guy to build a plumbing system or electronic circuit, I'm dating myself, when you have to solder bits and pieces. So I take this guy who's a good worker, I give him a big board. In the old days, that's how you made circuits. And I tell him, solder lead A to here and lead B to here and C and this and that. And the person follows the instructions, but what he's doing is making money. He's not making electronics, but he has no clue as to what he's doing and why he's doing and how he's creating a circuit here. He just knows what to do, and his conception here is, I'm getting paid $20 an hour, and that's what I'm doing. So he says, and someone who says about an Amoret that he's a Chassid, so that's why he is making a lie out of what Chacham said. So if you take a person who's not a learned person, and you say, wow, this is a real chassid, this is a real rechait, then he's really denying the validity of what Chachamim said. Now, this is a very loaded statement. This was a statement that many Misnagdim used very sharply against Chassidish Rebbes. Now, some of the Chassidish Rebbes were tremendous Talmid Chachamim. The Chiddush Arim, the Baal HaTanya, the Samach Tzedek, the Divrei Chaim. So there were rebbes that were, by all counts, Geoine Olam and so on. And I don't there wasn't that much opposition. I mean, the Baal HaTanya there was, because he was starting movement. But by and large, people could say, okay, here's somebody who knows the halacha, he knows the din, and therefore I give him credit for Sitkis, and I can call him a high person, a chashva person. And as long as they didn't think him to be an apikoros, they were fine with calling them. There were other Hasidic rebbeim that rightfully or wrongfully had a reputation of being a lot less learned. Some had a reputation of being terribly unlettered and unlearned. And part of the deeper opposition of the Misnagdim was, if it says Einam Eretz Chassid, how do you call this person a chassid? I guess maybe calling him a rebbe takes care of that. But basically the Rambam's saying, a person who doesn't understand the halacha, know the halacha, and so on and so forth. The chassidim teach it a little bit differently. They teach that they have to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and be Davuk, and knowing means there were other things, but the point of opposition was real, and besides which, it was felt to be highly dangerous that if you'd have people who are amaratzim, given the position of being the leader of community, so sometimes you have a very frum one that's always mechavn lemes and does the right things, fine. But then you have people that are far from it, and it's very, very, you know, he's a person who's going to mislead Klal Yisrael. And that was the opposition, that it was considered to be a chutzpah to take someone who is lehedya, not learned, or claims not to be learned, and then to become a gadol. Somebody once told me, Rav Flosh Malevitz, should be well, from the Mir, once said that somebody said, if you read the Chassidish stories, it is clear to you that when you come to Olam Haba, the only people you're going to meet are ignorant Kabbalists and Talmudists. Rabbanim and Rosh Hashivas will never make it into Olam Haba. The only people making Olam Haba are Maratzim. And that was the genre of those stories. And the Rambam says, "Umisha oymal amarat shu chassid, hareyu machzi v'chachamim." It's such a powerful statement. If someone says about a person who's unlearned that he's a chassid, he is mocking the words chachamim. Asher pasku b'ze ba'oifin nechratz. Chachamim were adamant. Lo yamarat chassid. Period. Umachzi v'asechel gamkein. And also, he also denies the validity of common sense, of axiomatic reasoning. Valkein timtzach ter bechol timtzach tzimchol ter ulemaritem v'acharkach lasoisem. You need to learn about it and then to do it. And it's quite clear, it's not something that is a it's just like, how do I make a sukkah? I'm going to have to learn the halacha hilchas sukkah, or else I'm not going to know how to make a sukkah. So I'm learning simply to get practice instruction. The Kohen Ram is much deeper. If I'm not aware of what I'm doing, then I'm not really doing it. If we can, it's like the difference between, just another example of it. A person can be a painter, or you can have one of those games. Let little kids have one of those pages of connecting dots and coloring it in. For the child who's connecting the dots and coloring it in, and he didn't draw a fish. He connected 1 to 2 and 2 to 3 and 3 to 4, and vayihi fish, the fish came out as a result of it. I can't call him a painter, despite the fact that he moved a crayon and out came a nice little fishy. The person doesn't understand what he's doing. Unless you understand the halacha that you're doing, you don't really, you don't shtoltzu to it. So Inuchinami, the Rambam says that even the chelik that's choik, we need to apply as much as possible. A good argument can be made that the person having a sense of what he's doing, it certainly gives a shleimus to the maisa. The problem will be when you get something like choik, which doesn't have any of that. While korchach, just the technique how to do it. Let's take an illustration. Let's take three people. One person, the three Aborigines came from Australia, and the first thing they want to do is get a driver's license, obviously. So one of them has a very good memory, and the driving instructor tells him every move that needs to be made in a car. When you're going there, you turn the wheel here. When you're going there, you turn it this way. You move the shift. You do this, that. The person memorized it all, but it's totally alien to him. He's just sort of following it. There's no self in it. So that's one madrega of a driver. So the person is a great driver, but he's clueless. A second person understands what he's doing. when he turns the wheel and why he's slowing and why he's going quicker and so on and so forth. He understands the chokhmah behind it. A third person understands the physics behind it. Why is it that when I slam on the brake, what happens to stop the car? So you have three madregas. The Torah is being mechayev, the middle one, that I understand what I'm doing as the minimum. So halacha does that. I'm now taking the lulav. I made eged. I don't need to make eged. I'm being menaneat. I'm doing it this way, that way, the other way. That is the difference between the person who understands that, the person who doesn't. It's like the person who just memorized when to turn the wheel to the person who actually understands how the car operates on the highway. The person who understands the oimek behind this, like the person who understands the physics behind it. Tremendous mila, but it's not quite this. It's not quite as necessary as this. Since that's when all of Torah you find ulamaratem lasaisem, achochma koidem lemaise. So a person needs to understand and then do the ma'aseh. And he says the reason is because if you do chachma, you'll get to the ma'aseh. If you do the ma'aseh, you won't get to the chachma. I don't think it just means this way we'll get both of them. But I think it means another nekuda. The natural way of doing it appropriately is where the chachma gives birth to the ma'aseh. That's the normal mahalach. But ma'aseh doesn't bring to chachma. So when it says talmid and ma'aseh, it doesn't just mean it's like a good kirov thing. Like if he'll learn about it, he'll do it. It means the normal flow, the chain of command, is from the world of machshava to the world of ma'aseh. Okay, we'll hold it here. Okay, we will turn off the tape.